Morning, everyone. So 1 John 4, 7, 2, 5, 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot in that, but there's really one main thing in it. And I think there are really two main things in all of 1 John. So I'm going to pray now that God would help us to understand what those main things are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. We pray, Father, as we read it now, that you would bring the truth of it to light to us, that it would actually be evident in our hearts what you're saying to us. And Father, as a result of what we hear, we'd know how to live in relation to you. We'd actually be transformed by your Spirit through your word today. We pray for your help with this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first things to shut down during the COVID lockdown was the local gym. People going along, heavy breathing and sweating in each other's immediate vicinity, touching all the same things with their sweaty hands and laying on the same benches with their sweaty backs. It wasn't deemed to be super conducive to disease control. This created a bit of a problem because, I don't know if you know this or not, but Australians love the gym. Do you know that over 30% of Australians have some kind of gym membership? I don't want to hit you with guilt early on a Sunday morning, but that's the reality. Lots and lots of people in Australia have some kind of gym membership. Attending the gym each week is a way to stay physically fit, to clear the mind, to get the endorphins running. It's actually quite good for your mental health. You recognise people who go to the gym when you go there. People share your routines. You know, you kind of pass like trains on city rail networks. You know, you're sort of always heading in the same place at the same time. You pass them on the way in or the way out. You might share a midweek class with them. If you get close enough friends, you might post a shared photo of you guys doing a fitness challenge together on Facebook. Who knows? Gym membership, it is about the exercise, but it's a little bit more than just the exercise. It's a bit of a community. Except what happened during the lockdown last year was people realised they could easily do gym at home. And so ever since the lockdown, did you know the cost of gym equipment, home gym equipment, has gone through the roof? Something as simple as free weights, that's the discs that you put on the end of the bar, or dumbbells, that's the thing you do your little bicep curls with, they've increased on the second-hand market around 600%. That's actually far more than any other precious metal has increased over the last 12 months. For those of you who are hiding gold under the bed, you should have actually been tucking some dumbbells away under there. If you thought you were spending when you were buying a treadmill last year, you were actually investing. They are absolute gold. Now, the fitness industry cannot keep up with the demand for dumbbells, treadmills, home gyms to compensate for the increase in usage at home. And the truth is, even after the lockdown has ended and gyms have opened up again, people haven't returned to the gym in droves. Do you know why? Because they were actually there for the exercise. They weren't there for the community after all. Even though that was a nice side benefit, they were primarily there for the workout. And so home gyms are flourishing. Church is not meant to be like the gym. Yes, we started meeting in our homes during lockdown, but church is not a place we go just to get some input or a spiritual workout. It's not just a weekly refreshment where we see some similar faces that we kind of bump into and might recognise in the street and say hello to. Church is meant to be different to being a member of a gym. What we hear in this reading today is it's meant to be an intimate community, a community where we know one another and we love one another. Sometimes, unfortunately, church can become like a gym. But John says to the believers he's writing to today, it shouldn't be like that. We should be one another's. We should all be about loving each other. It's a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? You'd almost rather lie on somebody else's sweaty bench than invest heavily in an intimate relationship with them. Let's think about this together. This is one of, I think, John's two key messages in his letter. Now, let's have a look at 1 John. We're going to move through this pretty fast, unfortunately. But I feel like you have to read through John fast so you don't get bogged down in the detail. Remember when these letters were written to the church, hardly anybody could read and write, and so they were made to be read in one sitting. So sometimes, even though we don't want to mess with the detail, getting the vibe of it is really important. Anyway, John says from verse 7, Christians ought to love because we've been loved immeasurably. Have a look from verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So this is something we've heard John say before in this letter. You find yourself thinking, mate, why did it take you 5 chapters to say the two things that you're saying, believe in Jesus and love one another? But he wants it to be really clear. Christians ought to love one another. This is something John heard from Jesus. This is one of Jesus' key teachings. Jesus said to his disciples, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And John, I don't know if he wasn't listening for the rest of the class, but he picked up on that bit. And when his parents asked him when he went home, what did you learn from Jesus today? He said, you've got to love one another. John says it's not optional for Christians, because if we say we follow God, God is love. He's shown us that in verse 9. He's shown us that he's love because he sent his one and only son. He didn't have 2 sons or 3. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God is so much love in verse 10 that he loved us before we loved him. It says that he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The meaning behind that term atoning sacrifice is a sacrifice that bears God's personal anger towards us. God loved us so much that even though we were still inciting his anger toward us, he sent his son as a substitute to bear his anger toward us in our place. That's love. He didn't love us while we were being nice to him or just after we'd written him a handmade Mother's Day or Father's Day card. He loved us while we were still inciting his anger. This is how much God loved us, and he loved us with his only son in that. John says in verse 11, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God's filled our love tank, John says, to the point that our love tank should be able to overflow into the lives of others. I didn't invent that term, love tank, but I love it. How's your love tank feeling? Is it full? If your faith is in Jesus, it should be full to overflowing. John says in verse 13, God lives in us. He's given us his Spirit. He's helped us to see and testify about his love. We know that Jesus came into the world to save the world. If we have God in us and we rely on his love for us, our love tank is full. And so we ought to love one another. John says in verse 17, God's love carries on to completion through us. As God fills us with his love, our love flows out into each other, showing the world the love of God. As God's love fills us, it reminds us we're united to the Father. And so as we approach death and know we're going to stand before him in judgment one day, we don't fear because we know we're loved. John says, you are so loved. That's what he's saying here. You're so loved. And so we ought to love one another. He says in verse 19 that we love because he loved us first. Christians ought to love because we've been immeasurably loved by God in Christ. If we can't love our brothers and sisters in church who we've seen, John says, how can we love God who we haven't seen? We should love one another because we've been immeasurably loved. When I was a kid, we used to get given in my family $2 a week pocket money. When I was in primary school, I lived in a little town called Harden Murrumburra, twin town, about 2,000 people, slightly less than the number of people at Kirwan High School, quite scarily. I felt like $2 was a lot at the time. And sometimes I'd go down to the corner store, Middleton's corner store, and I'd spend a whole dollar on Redskins, Milkos and Spearmints. They were 5 cents each. I got 20 in a little white paper bag. I got 10 Redskins because they were my favourite. I would have got 20, but after a while the kind of fullness of the red flavour got too much, and they're quite sticky on your teeth as well. So I got 10 Redskins, 5 Milkos and 5 Spearmints. That was my usual poison that I got. Sometimes I'd come home and I would let my sister choose one of the lollies, probably not a Redskin. And I would give my brother, who was 5 years younger than me, a Milko because they were the softest and he might choke on it. So I'd give him a Milko. Now, I'm not saying that because I was super generous, right? Clearly, you're not seeing the generosity in that action. But the truth is, no matter what sibling rivalry was going on, I was so loaded with Redskins. You know, I was so full in my sweaty little hand with that little white paper bag that I could afford to give a couple away. I was just dripping with lollies. I had more than enough. You know, Christians, we're meant to be like this with love. God has filled us with his love. We're dripping with it. You may not feel like your love tank is full. I'm not sure where your love tank is. I keep pointing to my chest. This is just the largest part of my body here, right? You might not feel like your love tank is full, but if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been loved immeasurably. You are absolutely full of the love of God. You could not be loved any more than you are. Not only has God sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for your filthy sin on the cross, washing you clean, but he's come to live in you by his Spirit. When every other person in your life leaves you, as every person will at some stage in our life, either by choice or necessity, the love of God never departs from you. Your Father in heaven is with you day and night, keeping you. We're united to Christ. Every day when I drop my kids off at school, I say to them, do not forget how loved you are today. Not just by me and Mum, but by your Father in heaven. You are so secure. We're meant to know that. Does your love tank feel full? It should if it doesn't. Sometimes in relationships, we hold back our love because we're worried if we give it away too cheaply, we might get hurt or we might miss out. So we don't give our love out because we're worried we won't get enough back in return. We're worried our love will be abused or mistreated. But Christians, we can afford the risk. We can give of our love freely because we have so much of it. We don't choose to love because we need to be loved in return. God has loved us fully. Our love tanks are overflowing. If you go into a relationship, if you're thinking about getting married and you go into a relationship and you're expecting that your spouse will meet all your love needs, that your spouse will be the one who will fill your love tank, it's never going to happen. No spouse is great enough to fill the tank. The love of God for you in Jesus Christ fills the tank, and from that security, your love can overflow to others. We can love each other first, sacrificially, wholeheartedly, knowing that it may never come back to us. And that's okay, because we've been loved. At a very simple level, this has ramifications in our marriages and in our families. We can say to our brother or our sister, we can say to our mums or our dads, we can say to our children, we can say to our husband or our wife, we can say, you know what, I just want to let you know I love you. And we can say that without being anxious about how they'll respond. Because even though we want them to say I love you back, we don't need them to say I love you back. We can risk saying it without getting it back because our love tanks are full, John says. We have been loved. At another level, we can give generously of our time, our hospitality to love each other. Again, not expecting it to be reciprocated because we're full, we're loved. I think the reason that Jesus could give of himself so fully on the cross was because he was so full of the Father's love for him. And so we ought to love one another. Can I ask you, is there somebody in your life that you need to at least verbalize your love for? Are you prepared to take the risk? Are you secure enough in the love that God has for you that you might utter the words to them, not expecting in return, I love you? That's a start. John says loving is not burdensome because we've overcome the world. Now that's a bit of an abstract saying. What does he mean by that? In the last part of the passage, it's actually 1 John chapter 5. Love is not burdensome because we've overcome the world. Have a look from verse 1 in chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. We have to unpack that a little bit because it's abstract as. John says in verse 1, all Christians are born of God. They're all God's children. And so if we love the Father, we love the children as well. We love one another. John's just repeating what he said in the last chapter, just in case we missed it. We love one another. And John says in verse 2, if we're Christians who love other Christians, we love God and we keep his commandments. And do you know what his commandments are? He told us in chapter 3, verse 23, believe in Jesus and love one another. If we love God, we love one another. John says in verse 3, this is not a burden. It's not like in the Old Testament where you couldn't eat pork, you know, no bacon. What a massive burden. It's not like in the Old Testament where if you got a scab on your knee and it got a bit pussy, you had to go and live outside the city for a couple of weeks until it cleared up. My son's knocked the scab off his knee about 5 times in the last month. It's never healing. We'd never see him. John says, this is not a burden, this command to believe in Jesus and to love one another. It's actually really simple. Why? Because in verse 4 he says, Everyone born of God overcomes the world. How does overcoming the world make it easier to love one another? Well, let me tell you, the word world in John can mean three things. It can mean the planet where we live. It can mean the people of the world. And you know, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall never die but have eternal life. That's the people of the world. Or it can mean the way of the world. The way of the world is taking pride in our material possessions, seeking our own glory, taking pride in our reputation. John's saying here, we've overcome that. Loving each other is not a burden. Me giving things up to help you is not a burden, because I've overcome holding on to those things. My life is no longer about storing things up for myself. My life is no longer about protecting my reputation. I can be your servant now because I've overcome the world. I can give my material possessions away to help you because I've overcome the world. I can love you in action and in truth because I've overcome the world. John says loving isn't a burden. You've overcome the world. You don't hold on to that stuff anymore. You can give everything to love one another. You know, the youngest member of our family, he's inherited so many toys from his four siblings. There are a lot of downsides to being the fifth of five children, but there's a pretty massive upside as well. He's got Beyblades, Bakugan, Transformers, Pokemon cards, all different kinds of Hot Wheels devices and Matchbox cars. He inherited pretty much every train Thomas the Tank Engine's ever named. And he got all those things all because as the older ones matured, they just don't need those things anymore. In fact, they don't even see the value in them anymore. They used to be the most precious things in the world to them. They would have massive fights over them. But now they've passed them on and they've let them go because they've grown out of them. For Christians, John says, we've overcome the world. We've grown out of it. The material things, the pride of life, putting ourselves first, we've matured. We're beyond that. Now if we see a brother or sister in need, we just let our stuff go and we help them. We don't need those things to feel secure because we're secure in the love of God. It may in fact be that when we let go of our things to help others, it could be a great blessing to them. This is the sort of thing that you'll see happen in the end of July, or is it August? When's the winter fair? Early August. When we have the white elephant stall. You guys have been storing up stuff, a lot of you hanging out for the white elephant stall. Stuff that you once held dear to your heart. The electronic drum kit, the step walker. All those things that were once so precious to you that you Googled about to get reviews of on the internet, you'll let them go at the winter fair in order to help others because you've overcome the world. Those material things don't mean anything to you anymore and you know the way they could be used to love others. You know, being a member of our church family, it's not meant to be like being a member of a gym. It should be remarkably different to every other club or society that we're part of. We should be a community where we're so filled with God's love for us that it kind of drips all over each other. Our love tanks should be overflowing and it should be striking to the world. Our willingness to let go of things that the world holds on to in order to help each other should be shocking. Our preparedness to help a brother or sister out should be vital and refreshing. People in the world should be shocked by it. As we come toward the end of our time in John next week, it seems to me there are really two things that he's wanted to make clear to us. Firstly, and this is Christianity 101. What does it mean to be a Christian? You believe in Jesus and you love one another. That's all there is to it. Christianity, it's so simple when you take a step and look back. Now, I know that most of us here, we believe in Jesus. But how are we going with loving one another? Is your membership of church like a gym membership? Do you turn up from time to time, see some familiar faces, and one day if this church shuts down, will you go to another one to get your service, wondering what happened to those nice people that you saw? Church can be like that, can't it? Church can be just like a gym membership. Look, I'm not naive to the fact that we have a lot of work to do as a church family. There are very much aspects of our church life that are like gym membership. I don't love you as much as I should because I don't know you as well as I should, and vice versa. We need to grow, though. We need to be a more intimate and loving community. There are some great acts of love that happen within our church family. I've known people to give people cars in our church family. I've known people at church to give people ridiculous amounts of money to help them pay bills as and when they fall due. I've known people to endure helping people learn to drive. I've known people to help people move, to make meals for them. All of that comes by letting go of the world and out of a desire to love one another. But we've still got a long way to go. Now, I know that not all of us have the same capacity to love one another. We can't all mow each other's lawns. We can't all lift each other's fridges, right? But we all have full love tanks of our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from our position of security, we can let go of other things and we can love one another. And as in the kids spot earlier on, a very small but important step for us to take to love one another is to get to know one another. If we don't know each other's needs, how can we love one another? So let me challenge you, have a chat with somebody over morning tea. It's a small thing, but you might catch something. You might snag on a point where you can actually help that person out and you can love them intimately. If somebody invites you around for a meal or a coffee or just for a chat, risk it and go. Accept the invitation. You're loved. You've got nothing to lose. Maybe you could invite somebody around for a meal and risk them seeing the abomination that is your house. Risk it because you are loved. And as we get to know one another, hopefully, God willing, we'll get to love one another more and more. That's the picture we're aiming for as the children of God. Well, let's pray that God would help us with that very sometimes hard task. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have loved us, that you sent your one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, that we might stand secure before you on Judgment Day. Father, thank you for filling us with your love. From our secure position as your children, Lord, help us to love one another. Father, help us to make small steps toward that just by getting to know one another. Father, help us with this because often we're weak-willed to do it. So strengthen us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.